All right. Turn the light, Philip. Thank you very much. All right. Good morning, church, again. Wow, that's really afflicted. Okay. All right. We got to make sure I don't think y'all don't fall asleep or die of exhaustion here. So let's get into this already. I actually got my glasses. There we go. So I have a theory that I would like to be able to test out on you all today. Y'all hear me, by the way? So I have a theory that I want to test out today. And I believe that, and it's a theory. I believe that one of the most difficult things in life is to know what you don't know. Would you agree? What do you think about that? Let me read that again. One of the most difficult things in life is to know what you don't know. All right? Let me give you a couple examples from my own life. Now, please, don't laugh. Alright? So right after my salvation, I was given a Bible. So I'm all proud about having a brand new Bible. And I remember going to, I remember the first Sunday after I got saved, I go into worship and I'm carrying my Bible. And I'm carrying like everybody else. And they're carrying the Bible. And I'm feeling really good. I feel pumped up. I feel good. I have a Bible in my hand. And so I do all this stuff. And then what happens is, what never occurred to me, now I don't understand why, which I was going to say, what never occurred to me that this Holy Bible actually has a table of contents. Now, it never occurred to me. I don't know why. I would know, I'm not, if you know me, you know I'm not a big reader, so, but it never occurred to me it wouldn't have there. So I remember when the pastor came up and said, hey, everybody turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So I go ahead and I'm flipping through the Bible and I'm going through it all, and about 5 minutes later I'm getting frustrated because I can't find it. When I realized I actually wasn't in 1 Corinthians 10, I was in actually 1 Chronicles. So I was in a whole long section of it, right? So here's the thing. And it took me another 20 minutes just to recover from that mistake. So by the time I get to 1 Corinthians, the pastor has already read the scripture and he's moved on, and I'm like, I'm totally flustered. How was I to know that I could have ended all that frustration in 30 seconds if I would just return to the table of contents? Right? I just did that. Here's example number two. So I've been a Christian for a while, about a year or so maybe. And I want to know where these various different verses that you hear about that were located. And then I noticed that in the back of your Bibles, right, in the back of the Bibles, there is like a little word thing. So you can look up words, like if you hear a particular word, whether it be weak or whatever, you can see certain ones. But I was saying, man, I wish there was something that would do every single word in the Bible. And I'm thinking, how could this possibly be done? Well, come to find out, someone came to me and said, yeah, there was. It was already done. His name was Strong. He was a pastor. He put together, in 1897, that book. The book with every single word in it, so you could see it. You could see every single word that's in here and what the meaning of it is. But how could I have known that unless someone had told me? Right? Now, I'm sure that you guys have probably had a few of your own. Maybe not that kind of weirdness, but you've had a few of your own that done the same thing. And again, if you're a parent, here's the thing. How could you have known that you knew nothing about parenting until the day your child was born? You might have known you knew something, but until you actually had a child, you really realized you didn't do it. Or maybe you were an investor, like investing money. How did you know that you never know about investing? You probably made a mistake or two. So, but how could you have known that what you didn't know until you made a mistake that may have cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars? Now, I can relate to those first couple, but this one I can't. But if you were in a service, if you were a Marine or an Army or whatever, and the day you reported to boot camp, how could you have known that you knew nothing until your drill instructor so-called has demonstrated your ignorance to you? See, here's the thing. We are learning these days about a very simple formula for getting from where we are to where we want to be. We are learning that our direction determines our destination. Okay? So that from getting from point A to point B involves more than just our hopes and our dreams. It involves a path. So far we've learned that life is a series of mid-course corrections. That when we see danger, it would be wise to ignore that danger, because we should be wanting to take refuge and avoid that danger. We learned that one of the most common mistakes in determining which fork to take is trusting our hearts. It's not trusting our hearts, because why? Our hearts lie to us. Today, I want to help you with another essential lesson for success along the path. And this lesson has to do with figuring out what you don't know. How do you do that? How do you discover what you don't know that you don't know that you so that you can avoid the potholes and the pitfalls and the landmines that you never saw coming? Fortunately, we have that. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, and probably the wise man who ever lived. He gave us some help. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Proverbs 15, verse 22. It says, without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. So how can you know what you don't know? Psalm is given to us. You seek advice from advisors. Now, here's the thing. Specifically, you seek the right advice from the right advisors. So, if it's that simple, if it's getting advice is that simple, why don't we seek advice? Well, let me give you three reasons I think why. Number one, we think we already know what we need to know. And a one word for that would be ignorance. We're very ignorant people. Number two, it feels better to have people think we know where we're going than to let them know we don't have a clue. A one word for that one would be pride. So we're very ignorant people, we're very prideful people. And number three, it's too much to figure out how to get advice. Let me give you a word for that one, Paul. Laziness. So, as a human society, we are very arrogant, our ignorant people, we're very prideful, and we're very lazy. You probably, without your hands raised, you probably can say that, yeah, you're at least one of them, hopefully not all three, but we're all in that category. So sometimes we do make plans without counsel, right? And when we do that, most times they often fail, or at least they wind up being less effective than they could have been. At other times, we do get counsel. So we do ask for counsel, but the problem is, we get this, what I call substandard counsel. It's not the best counsel you can get. It's a substandard kind. It's below what you can. Because what we do, we take it from the wrong people. We don't get good counsel from wise people. So, and the reason is this. Think about this. So why don't we seek advice from wise counselors? First of all, why don't we seek advice? But if we do seek advice, why don't we seek it from wise counselors? Well, let me give you three for this one. Number one, it's easier to get advice from our friends. So much easier to go to our friends. We'll explain more and all these in detail in a minute. Number two, it's just easier to follow the crowd. Everybody else doing it, I'm going to do it. Number three, it's easier to copy what our parents did. Someone wrote this. So let's be patient. I am constantly amazed at how resistant folks are to take their cues from people who are where they want to be. But I'm even more amazed at how how quick the average person is to borrow a page or two from someone else who's never been where he wants to be. How about the parents who parent like their parents and wonder why their kids are turning out the same way they did? And then there are couples who treat each other the way they saw their moms and dads treat each other and wonder why they are just as unhappy as their parents were. These are folks who have a good idea of where they want to be, but are content to follow a map used by folks who have never been there. The author continues and says, this happens all the time among my friends. The great thing about having friends who share your season of life is that you have so much in common. But the downside to that is that they aren't much farther down the road of life than you are. Friends are great for friendships. They aren't always great for advice giving. And often, it is not their advice that gets us in trouble. It's the assumptions we make based on what we observe about our friends. These assumptions become a map we inadvertently follow. I call this phenomenon the herd assumption. The herd assumption happens when you assume that since everybody you know is doing something the same way, it must be all right. If everybody you know is mortgaged to the hilt, driving two lease vehicles, applying for a home equity loan, a lot of credit, then it can't all be that bad. If everybody you know works 60 hours a week, sees their family primarily on weekends, then it must work out somehow. The problem, of course, is that everybody is headed for a similar destination at which no one has yet arrived. It feels safe. Everyone can't be wrong. But it's not safe. And by the time it becomes obvious that each of those three directions leads to an undesirable destination, it's usually too late to do much about it. Taking your cues from people who share your season of life is equivalent to asking for and following the directions of someone who's never been where you want to go. So the question is, this morning, so first of all, how do we get good advice along our paths? Right? What's the secret to good counsel? Where do I find it? This morning, I want to share with you four ways to getting good counsel. Obviously, number one, the Holy Spirit. All right? That's obvious. That's not even in the four. That's above that. That's the top line. That's the Holy Spirit. Right? But then Solomon gives us all the ways from God's Word. So let me go ahead and just open up a quick prayer, and then we'll be started. Father God, I pray that you would use me in a way that they would all be able to hear. I pray that, Father, you put the distractions at your feet. I pray that you make this as clear as possible. Show us, Father God, good counsel. How do we get it? Give us that good advice only that comes from your word. We ask this in your name. Amen. Number one of getting good advice, alarm pass, is knowing that you will always need good counsel. You'll always need good counsel. On the screen, it says, let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. See, here's the thing. Wise people hear and increase in their learning. They listen to counsel and they listen to get wiser. And the scripture goes, and the one who understands will obtain guidance, and they will get further along the right path. But here's the thing. What is a rule for increasing learning and obtaining wise counsel? Look at the fourth word. Let the wise hear. Hearing. Even wise and understanding men and understanding women must stop thinking and stop talking in order to listen to become wiser. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter how much wisdom you think you may have. We need to stop thinking. We need to stop talking to listen to get good counsel and get advisors. To learn more and obtain guidance, we must hear instructions from others. Here's the key. I think it's in life. We need to humble ourselves. Wisdom is acquired by the ears, not by the mouth. We have two ears and one mouth. James 1:19, we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. Think about that. That's the way we can work on getting that. But here's the problem. Foolish people would rather speak. Why? Because they want to show others their wisdom. But there's plenty of scriptures that people who talk less are probably better off than the ones who talk a lot. Men who talk more usually find out they don't have much wisdom at all. But a wise person will close their mouth and they will open their ears so that they might hear the instruction of their teachers and they gain their wisdom. And here's the thing. Listening, we know as a child, listening is hard for the young and the simple. We talked about them a few weeks ago, right? Because they are foolish and they are impatient. How many of us have been there? Children are self-deceived to think that they know more than their parents. Come on now. You know when I was growing up, I thought I knew more than my parents. And I'm sure if you have children now, you think your kids think you know more than they know more than you. But with that experience, with that understanding, They don't want any of this, but they want to teach us. But older men, older women also have a problem listening. We're not other words, for they value their experience too highly. See, we go to the wise. They tell us what needs to be done. And we are too important or too impatient to wait. See, how many times have you gone to somebody, you know what, I'm going to go get some advice. You go get that advice and they give it to you. But you know what? You don't want to wait for it. You don't want to wait. That whatever they tell you, it might take some time. So we become impatient. And we start doing it. And what happens is, what that equals is that you end up going, and I end up going, on a wrong path. No one, I can't get express enough, gets to a place where they no longer need wise counsel. So the first secret to getting good counsel is to be open to it. Wise people listen, increase their learning. Number two, asking more than one person's advice. All right? Asking more than one person's advice. On the screen, Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no guidance, a people falls. But an abundance of counselors, there is safety. Notice a word that Solomon inserted before counselors in this proverb. Abundance. Not one, but an abundance. Now here's something that's going to sound really obvious to you. Alright? Most of the really important decisions in your life seem really important to you. Agree? I'll keep you all awake here. Give you a little nod here, there. Some. All right, here we go. And the most important decisions seem to have a sense of urgency to them. And they're so important, they dominate our thinking. They're with us all the time. So we want to make those decisions as quickly as we can. But Solomon's advice says what? But in an abundance of counselors, there is safety. There is a great value and there is safety in receiving opinion and input from an abundance of counselors. Because listen to this, no man, no woman has all gifts and has all wisdom. No one has that. An abundance of counselors may work well to bring greater wisdom and safety in your decisions. When I was trying to figure out if and where to plant the church, I consulted with many different pastors who I thought were godly, and they would give me godly counsel. And the key to this, that had no input whether I did it or not, in a sense, it wouldn't affect them one way or the other. And by using that counsel that they gave me, it helped me discern God's will for my life and where to go with it. So abundance of counselors, there is safety. So, when a decision is important, ask more than one person for an advice. Number three, not letting pride keep you from admitting what you don't know. Proverbs 13:10. By insolence comes nothing but strife, but with those who take advice is wisdom. That word insolence, pride, arrogance. Pride may be the number one enemy of the path. Successful people, wise people, are open to the fact they don't know everything they need to know and are quick to go to people who do. They may know more about that particular one. Solomon describes this term in the path called in Proverbs 12:15, when he says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. Let me read that again. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Let's switch that. Because we're talking about the path in this series. It would be the way of the path of a fool seems right to him. What we may seem is right path may not be the right path. Why? First of all, again, I'm not excluding the counsel of the Holy Spirit and the wonderful counsel we have. But with the people we go to, we might not like their advice, we may not get what we want to hear of their advice, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. But the point is that we must worry about the path that we're on, and is it leading us to where we want to go or away from where we want to go? And the wise counselors help us go along that path. For example, so a friend comes and says, "Hey, I am worried about the direction you're heading." Now, a fool would say, "Don't worry about me. I got it. I'm good." But a wise person would say, "Really? You know, I'm just making this worse. I'm grateful that you do. Can you share with me? Can you tell me what you're seeing that I'm doing wrong?" Okay? That's a wise counselor. What about this? A dad comes to his son and says, "I'm worried about some of the habits that you're developing." Now, we're not talking about while he's still at home. We might talk about when he's on his own. Right? Because as a parent growing up, you want to teach him the right way. But either way, the fool's son will say, "Just leave me alone, Dad. I got this." But the wise son will say, "Hey, can you tell me, what habits do you see me developing? You know, maybe I want to change that. You know, let me know." Or a mom comes to her daughter and says, "Hey, honey, I think your behavior could get you into trouble someday." Well, that foolish daughter says, "Hey, Mom, you're just so old-fashioned. You don't know." But the wise daughter will say, "Well, can you tell me what the behavior is seeing?" Or, last one, a supervisor comes to an employee and says, "I know this is none of my business, but can I give you some advice?" The foolish employee says, "You're right, it's none of your business, leave me alone. Keep out of my business." But the wise employee would say, "Look, you're right, I need all the advice and counsel I can. Please do, please give me some advice." One of the best Bible examples of this is the account of a young king named Rehoboam. The account is found in 2 Chronicles 10. And his account will cover several verses. So I want you guys to turn to 2 Chronicles 10, please. 2 Chronicles 10. When you get there, just let me know. Just say amen so I know you're there. 2 Chronicles 10. I want to make sure people are there because to me this is an important part, and I want to make sure we're there. 2 Chronicles 10. As you're turning, I have a question to ask you. How many of you didn't know where it was? You went to the table of contents. Alright? Okay, good. If you didn't, you thought you knew where it was, and if you still can't find it, just go back about 6 books from Proverbs. You'll find it. Get to Ezra, right past Ezra, then the 2 Chronicles, right past 1 Chronicles. So, right between those two, you got it. So some of you think you knew, you didn't know. Alright. So here we go. Rehoboam had just become king, right? I'm going to give you the backdrop before we get into the text. And the people feel like they had been worked excessively hard by the predecessor. So before they allow him to be crowned as king, they ask him to lighten up his demands for their labor. So I'm going to start reading in verse 10. I'm sorry, verse 5 of chapter 10. 2 Chronicles. He said to them, "Come to me again in 3 days." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the old man who had stood before Solomon his father while he was still yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" And they said to him, "If you will be good to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." But he abandoned the counsel that the old man gave him, and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him. And he said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" And the young men who had grown up with him said to him, "Thus shall you speak to the people who said to you, 'Your father made your yoke heavy, but you lighten it for us.' Thus shall you say to them, 'My little finger is thicker than my father's thighs. And now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king said, "Come to me again the third day." And the king answered them harshly, and forsaking the counsel of the old man, King Rehoboam spoke to them according to the counsel of the young man, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for it was a term of affairs brought about by God that the Lord might fulfill his word that he spoke to Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And when all of Israel saw that the king did not listen to them, the people answered the king, "What portion have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. each of you to your tent, O Israel. Look now to your own house, David. So all Israel went to their tents. But Rehoboam reigned over the people of Israel who lived in the cities of Judah. And King Rehoboam sent to Hadoram, who was taskmaster over the forced labor. And the people of Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam quickly mounted his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. For Israel has been in rebellion against the house of David to this day. So, after hearing this request, right, Rehoboam made three, he actually did make three smart decisions. Right? First, he asked time to decide what to do. So he knew, he was wise enough to know that he needed to seek advice in making that decision. Alright? Number two, the second thing he did was he'd seek advice in making the decision. Because he didn't want to make a rush decision, seek advice. So he chose to listen before he decided. Alright? So that's two smart things. Take time, listen to some advice. And thirdly, he listened to many or abundance of counselors, not just one. And not even just one group. Now, that's the smart things he did. Here's where he failed. This is where he got off the path. What Rehoboam wasn't interested in, though, was actual advice. What he wanted was confirmation of his own conviction. He already knew what he wanted to do. He already knew. He just needed someone to come alongside and agree with him. Never mind that this older group, this wise group, they were older and wise, never mind that. Never mind that they had been there to help his father make him the wisest and richest king of his day. Never mind that they had actually gone where Rehoboam wanted to go. And this is the lesson of Rehoboam's entire life. And we need to remember, church, that when we go for people for advice, we need to make sure that we're seeking godly counsel and not just a group that we want to hear what we want to hear from. See, sometimes we already have in our mind what we want to do. And so what we're doing is we're just trying to find someone who will agree with us. It may not be the right advice, but that's what we want to hear. And as long as we hear it, we can go to three different people. But if that third person tells me what I want to hear, I'm going to listen to them. The first two could be godly people who could tell you the right way to do it. And they both agree, even though at different times, but that third person is what you wanted to hear. And we're wrong with that. And that will ultimately put you and myself on a wrong path. The fourth way of getting counsel is this. Taking counsel from those who have been where you want to go. Your life, my life, will all of them pass. And like I said earlier, these paths, they're either going to lead us toward where we want to go or away from where we want to go. So here, let me recap. The secret of getting good counsel is first knowing that you need it, then seeking it from multiple reliable sources, and truly listening to those sources to learn what you didn't even know you didn't know. And most importantly, taking counsel from the right people. From the people we respect, who have arrived where we want to go with their character and their reputations intact. You know, when my mom passed away, people would come up to her and would say, "Oh, I know how you feel." And all honesty, they had no clue. I didn't know how my mom felt. She lost a son. Let me back a step here. When my mom lost my brother, when my brother passed away, I had no idea what my mom was going through. Unless you've lost someone, you have no idea. Unless you've lost a parent who's lost a child, unless you've lost one, you have no idea what they're going through. I did not know what I was going through, what she was going through until our daughter passed away. Then it clicked. My mom couldn't get good counsel because apparently the people she knew, the where she came from, no one lost a child. So they couldn't give her the counsel that she looked for. And my mom had to go through counseling because it devastated me. When we lost our daughter, We didn't really have anybody we could counsel to. But the key to this is this. We now have helped, and again, this is not to toot my own horn, but this is to give you an idea. We have now helped other people who have lost their son or they lost their daughter, because we know what they go through. And because we've gone through what they've gone through, they respect us more because we can relate to them. When you go to people, God puts it there. It says in Corinthians, you suffer because you'll suffer and you will be able to help others who suffer. The point is that we had experience. We're those people who lost their child where they wanted to go, we went to where they want to go. So we were able to give them some godly advice. See, there's a real difference between the right road and the easy road. The easy road is that arrogant road, right? It's the ignorant road. It's the prideful road. It doesn't seek counsel. It ignores the counsel that it does get. Or it seeks counsel only from those who are easy to get it to. In other words, what they want to hear. For the wise people, the men and women, who seek counsel from wise people, listen to it. They notice it. They take heed of it. They understand it. And they walk a path. They get on that path that's going to lead them to where they want to go. I want you to imagine for a minute. I want you to think about this. Think about your life. What would it be like if you had developed this habit? If all those paths that you were on, that you would be on, if you actually would have gotten godly counsel. What about the path that you're on that you became impulsive in your decision making? If you said and got a habit of asking for godly counsel. What about if you were indecisive about those decisions you made, and you didn't know which way to go, you were indecisive, you just took one on the flank. What if you actually looked for counseling that were older and wiser people who than you are and than I am? Where would your life be if you would have actually done all that? If you have actually got good godly counsel from? Now, I can tell you, I wouldn't change anything from my past because I am where I am because of what I've done. But knowing this, I will change the future because I know that I need to go out for this for godly advice. Pastor Darrell and I, we're not the top, right? We're still at the bottom. We're no better than you guys. So we also need godly advice. No one, like I said at the beginning, no one is beyond needing godly advice. Parents, let's get personal. Imagine what we could learn and what heartaches we could have saved our children if we counseled with other successful seasoned parents. Hey, how did you get through this? What did you do here? And you went to and got godly advice. Employees, right? We're employees. Imagine the steps you could save if you actually sought advice from people of character and success in your field and asked for guidance once in a while. It wouldn't be that hard, would it? Some of us wonder why our plans fail so often. Honestly, some of our plans have failed because we sabotaged them. We got in God's way. God wanted to do a certain thing and we said, I got it. But many of our plans failed because they weren't the best plans. God's word from our scripture today, 15:22 of Proverbs. Without counsel, plans fail. But with many advisors, they succeed. A sure rule for success in a life is to submit to decisions to the review of wise counselors. King Solomon, he's given us this. What is he trying to do? He's seeking to prepare his son to govern Israel. And it's repeated, this proverb, several times in this manual of wisdom. He knew that many factors could alter a person's decision making, especially when they're personally involved in that matter. See, we all make plans. We all make plans to get married. We make plans to change jobs. We respond how we respond to an enemy. We go if we want to go back to school. Whether we go buy a house. Whether we want to teach our children home and take them out of the public school system. That's the business part. Whatever. We all make plans. And if we push the head without using wise and neutral friends to criticize our ideas, we will likely be disappointed. And let me tell you what I mean by neutral. When I asked where to plant a church at, I didn't go to pastors around here. Because our human nature would say, oh, I'm not giving them anything good, man. You'd be taking our people. You'd be trying to take people from us. I went to people who were farther away. They were neutral. They had no interest what I was going to, in a sense that they were going to worry about people leaving. So when you go for advice, you want to find a third party, someone who doesn't care about each side, that will be neutral and give you the godly advice that we need. So if we humbly allow wise advisors to review our plans, you can settle for a sure path for your life. This rule for success is basic and it's simple. But why do we mostly ignore it? Let me recap why we mostly of us will ignore it. Because we presume that we're right. My way is the way. I got it. I got to take care of it. We don't need advice. Or they're too proud to ask anyone else. Or they don't want to hear any negative criticism. They don't want to know any bad part. Just tell me what I want to hear and we're good to go. Or they're too impatient to take the time. Do you know that sometimes God answers by wait? Wait. He doesn't tell you no. He doesn't tell you yes. It's a wait process. Here's one. Last one I'm going to give you here. They are already committed and it's too humbling to turn back. What did we talk about a few weeks ago? When we need to make course corrections, what happens? It will require sacrifice. And guess what? It will require some embarrassment. Because we have to humbly say that we messed up and I've got to change my path. When we plan for ourselves or our family, we are already biased toward our conclusion. We are emotionally involved and we cannot see as clearly as others. Our desires, our experiences, our knowledge, our circumstances, and any other factors could cloud our perception of reality. We don't see the danger or weakness as easily as a third party. That's the reason why we have to have them. But as we seek wise counselors, we must put everything on the table with them. Let me give you one last illustration. When I do premarital counseling or when I help people get out of debt, okay, there are some things that I require for it to work. One, they must be transparent with me. They must be upfront with everything. Whatever we're talking about, whatever subject, whatever it is, they must be transparent, they must be upfront. They can't hold back parts of their life that they know are weak or maybe even wrong in their life. It doesn't work. They got to come totally clean with me. Because so that I can rightly and quickly analyze the major factors and the final objective of the plan. For example, I will always tell, when I do a premarital counseling, I always tell at the beginning that I will play the devil's advocate a lot. And it's not to make sure that you don't get married, it's to make sure that your marriage is stronger going into it. So I did that a lot. I do that a lot. Because I play the role. I want them to make sure they are 100% totally on board with the counseling and their marriage. So so then I expect them to listen and should incorporate the advice that's given to them. Remember, whether it's me or anybody else, consulting advisor is not an empty exercise to simply discuss ideas to further or honor ourselves. It's not about that. The purpose of getting counsel is to get an answer to save and to help us and to put us on that right path. And so when we get counsel, we've got to accept, we must accept their judgments as far as it goes. We must consider the counsel. And we need to try and remember to hear, I want to hear this. See if you ever heard it this way. To hear criticism of a plan. Someone tells you, this is not the way God would want it. This is what the scripture says to do this. Do you know, ready? And you do it anyway, you've committed two sins. He went against godly counsel, as the Bible says, and he committed the sin. That's why he took trouble. He committed two sins of that. Don't say we're every day we're sinless, because even I sin. So now you've heard the four. You've heard the advice. You've heard from Solomon, who went through Proverbs. My question to you is, what will you do with this advice today given by Solomon, God's word? Let me give you my counsel. Come back next week. We should be growing every week in wisdom. You've been here. But we're not through yet. And Solomon's got a few more lessons to teach us. So come back next week. Finish the book of Proverbs. If you've been reading regularly since we started, you should almost be done Proverbs. If you haven't, if you just started, just keep going. But be committed to finish that Proverbs. At least do it 1 month to start yourself out. Be committed to do it for 1 month. Number three, ask God to show you the counselors He has for you. God has people in place for you just when you need decision making. Godly people who you respect, you trust, that will give you that counsel. And number four, seek advice this week from someone who is where you want to be. If one decision needs to be made, seek that advice. And number five, and probably the most important decision of all, is this. Follow Jesus. It doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't matter what I just talked about. This whole 40 minutes of talk, 45 minutes. It doesn't matter what I talked about. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, you have nothing. You cannot get on the right path. You won't be on the right path. You and I, we need Jesus in our lives. And it's no secret formula. It's just saying that you're confessing that with your mouth that He is Lord, that you are trusting in that His death, burial, and resurrection. It's that simple. It's saying humbly, I give up. Lord, take my life. Do as you want with it. You humbly give up yourself to follow Him. That is the most important decision that anyone can ever make. You can't do the little stuff until you do that. But here's the thing. I say follow me. I think it's very interesting that while Jesus was on earth, the phrase He used more often than any other was follow me. And if you think about that, that is a directional statement. Follow me. Walk behind me. Walk the path I'm walking. Come to me, He says. All of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. For the yoke I place on you in the road, you will walk together. It's easy. And the burden I will give you will seem light. For I am gentle and I am humble heart. And as you follow me, you will find rest for your souls. Follow Jesus. And as you follow Jesus, you cannot help but to be on the right path. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Father God. Yes, it is hot. And I just pray, Father God, that the words that I say are your words. And that as we leave this place, Lord, we understand that we're not in this alone. And there are godly people in our lives that can help us along the path. That can give us that godly advice. And not just one, we should go to a couple of godly people. The one thing, Lord, we want to do is to please you. And we want to make sure that we're on that right path. And I know that we'll stumble, and I know that we might get all on that wrong path. But I pray, Father God, you would help us get on that right path. And using advisors would help us. Thank you, Jesus, for all you do. Father, if anyone here doesn't know your Savior, may this be the day they receive you as their Savior. And that is someone here today, Father God, I pray that they would pray to have them come into your life, their life. And then I pray that they would come see myself and Pastor Darrell so we can take it to the next step. For all those, Lord, who just need to start doing better, getting better counseling, get better people's advisement. Not from their friends who are on the same path with them and may not be any farther than them, but someone who is godly. Whoever that may be, may they start seeking the wise counsel that you've shown us that we need through your word. And as we do that, we're going to carefully give you all the praise and glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen.